Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. When my husband and I argue, I feel like it never gets us anywhere. We tend to start off arguing about what we disagree on, then we spiral into 10 different other arguments. To be honest, I don't even know if arguing is a sin or not. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, how do we argue well?
Yes, we can put this question in the broadly helpful category, because I think many, many people can identify with this. How many of us argue well just like right out of the chute as married people? Probably not a whole lot. No. A lot of us can identify with just, you know, you go in circles. So I see there's kind of like two questions here. So we'll talk about how to argue well, but then there's also this question, I don't even know if arguing is a sin or not. So let's talk about that first.
Yeah, so it is not sinful to have a conflict and try to address it.
Right. A conflict, and this is a good biblical counseling word. We call it a conflict, not a fight. A conflict is simply when we disagree about something. And the Bible assumes that we're going to have conflicts. That's why we have so many commands in the New Testament about reconciliation and being long-suffering with one another. They're all over the place. However, there are ways that we can sin in the process of addressing a conflict. Some people are contentious and quarrelsome. We find those words in Proverbs. Some people just like to argue and fight, and they find themselves in conflicts more frequently than other people because they think more highly of themselves than they should, or they don't prefer other people, or they're not patient and long-suffering. We all know contentious people. Ephesians 4 also mentions some specific ways that we can sin in the midst of conflict. So Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." So that tells us that it's not necessarily sinful even to be angry during a conflict, but the question is, what do you do with that anger during a conflict? Verse 31 in Ephesians 4 addresses some potential sins that can come from anger, and those sins would be bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander. So do you harbor that anger and it turns into bitterness? Wrath is the next one on the list. Wrath is like explosive anger. Do you let the anger rule over you and eventually you explode? The next word in that list is anger itself, which in the text is more of like a simmering thing. Do you stew on the situation and kind of keep it under the surface and it kind of rules you that way? Clamor is yelling in anger. That would be a sinful thing to do. Slander is the last one on the list. Slander is saying abusive things to one another or calling one another names. Do you do those things? If so, then you are sinning in the midst of conflict. And those are ways in which you might be abusing the scriptures as you're dealing with a conflict. On the other hand, we could also say that not addressing a conflict, like pretending that nothing happened, that is sinful, because this same passage in Ephesians 4 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity, which means deal with conflicts in a timely way so that you don't sin in one of these other ways later in the passage. So is it sinful to argue? If by argue we mean work through a conflict, no, that's not sinful. It's sinful not to resolve the conflict, but if by the word argue we mean any of these other things, being contentious, being wrathful, using clamor, being slanderous, yelling, name-calling, all of those things, then that would be sinful and would need to be corrected, okay? So conflict has to be addressed, and the problem is that most of us go about it the wrong way. So now let's talk about how do we go about arguing well.
Yeah, so the issue cannot be reconciled until the issue is understood.
Yeah. Now that's such a simple concept, but it eludes us in the moment of a conflict. It's just a huge principle. The biggest problem that people have in their attempts to deal with conflicts is that they are addressing an issue that doesn't exist or an issue about which they have a one-sided or skewed view. So those of you who are just diehard Truth and Circumstances listeners who take notes on everything that you hear, if you're taking notes, write this down. That was tongue-in-cheek. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." Okay, I'll read that again. "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." That's the Bible's way of saying that there are two sides to every story. There are two sides to every conflict. Many of us try to address a conflict certain that we're ready to fix the problem because we know our side. Mm. And that's the same thing as thinking that we know the whole story when we only know one side. And when we do that, we are violating Proverbs 18:17.
Yeah, and to understand the issue, we must listen well.
Yeah, and listening well, I think, is implied in Proverbs 18:17. When we have conflict, we already know our own side very well. We need to understand the other person's side. And right there in Proverbs 18, there's another verse. A few verses earlier, Proverbs 18:13 reads, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it's his folly and shame." It is foolish and shameful to try to render a judgment on a situation without having all the information. And the information that you and I don't have in a conflict is the other person's perspective. We have to have that in order to understand the information and be in a position to come to a resolution. So with that in mind, I would like to propose an organized framework for working through a conflict. Now, what I'm going to propose here, you can't find this in the scriptures. I would say that this is just a wise way to organize a conflict. There may be other ways to do it, but this is a way to do it based upon the wisdom principles that we have just brought up in Proverbs 18:17, that we need to listen well before we give an answer, okay? So here's what I propose.
Yeah, you need to agree together on the following ground rules.
Okay. Now, I haven't given you the ground rules yet, but I will. But the point right now is that if you don't both agree to abide by this framework that I'm going to give you, then you'll continue to argue poorly and you won't get anywhere. Worse, you'll have mounting unresolved issues in the relationship that are going to plague you going forward. So the next time you have an argument, you could even listen to this episode together first and get a handle on the framework. The first step after understanding the framework would be to agree, yes, this is how we're going to organize our discussion now, and this is really organized what I'm going to propose. Okay, it's going to feel weird because it'll be the most productive conversation you've ever had, but it works, okay? But it will feel weird. So here we go.
Yeah, divide the conversation mentally into two parts, listening and solving.
Yeah. When I teach this to premarital counselees, I draw a line down the middle of a whiteboard, and the column on the left is listening, the column on the right is solving, and you might even sit down at a table and do this on a piece of paper and keep it in front of you so that you are thinking this while you're talking. Don't even think about trying to solve the problem until the listening part of the conversation is completed, okay? This needs to be a huge priority. You must listen and understand before you try to solve. Remember, it's foolish to try to solve any issue that you don't understand fully according to Proverbs 18.
Yeah, and in the listening part of the conversation, the only objective is to understand the other person's perspective.
Yeah, we're not so much trying to be understood as understand the other person's side, okay? So while the other person is talking, forget that you have a side of this issue. You have one job, and that is to understand your spouse's side of the issue, okay? So you're going to focus on understanding their perspective like it's your job, because it is your job. Mm-hmm. So you go after their perspective with such earnestness that it wouldn't occur to you to rebut anything that they say. There will be time for that later in the conversation, okay? So step one in this listening section, person one, Kyle, can I use you and Ashley as example? This might
sure.
be more interesting than saying person one or person two through this thing. Okay, so you're person number one.
Okay.
Ashley is person number two. Okay. So we'll say Kyle and Ashley have a conflict. Kyle is going to state his case first. He's just going to explain his perspective on this conflict while Ashley listens intently without interrupting or rebutting. Ashley can ask clarifying questions if Kyle and Ashley have agreed ahead of time that that's okay. Otherwise, she'll just be perfectly quiet and just listen to Kyle, okay, until he is done giving his perspective on the issue. Step two, when Kyle is finished, then Ashley will repeat Kyle's perspective in her own words, okay? So she's going to give what you think on the issue. Basically, she's trying to demonstrate to you, Kyle, that she understands your perspective. She's not going to adulterate it with her perspective at all. She's trying to be as faithful as she can to what you think on the whole conflict, okay? This is step three now, okay? Step three, after Ashley has given her version or her regurgitation, for lack of a better word, of your perspective, then you will say,
yes, either, that's my perspective.
Yes, that's my perspective, or...
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so...
Maybe not the at all part.
Right, right, yeah. We want to be kind.
Yes.
Now, if the answer is no, that's not what I'm saying, then, Kyle, you would again explain your position, but this time through, you'll emphasize the details that Ashley seemed to misunderstand, okay?
Okay.
And Ashley's going to humbly listen in order to correct her understanding, because remember, what she wants more than anything is to understand. So she's not feeling corrected or bashed or anything. She just wants to understand. So after you have finished clarifying your position again, then Ashley again states your position in her own words. And this process is going to continue until you are able to say, yes, that's my perspective, indicating that Ashley really understands both sides of the issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so then step four, it's now Ashley's turn to give her perspective. And the same process is followed. And it takes as long as necessary until Ashley is able to say to you, yes, that's my perspective, okay? Step five, this is what we might call the rebuttal phase. This is, and I don't like that word because it sounds so argumentative, but I can't think of a better word. We're still not trying to solve the issue, okay? We're not trying to solve the issue. We're still trying to understand, but in this part of the listening phase, now we're giving our perspective on the other person's perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so... either of you could go first on this, okay? But it will proceed just like the previous phase, all right? So whoever goes first, and we'll say that you go first again, you're going to give your thoughts on Ashley's perspective, okay? So whatever Ashley's heart was on this conflict, you're going to tell her what you think about her perspective, where you think she might be wrong, or where you think she might be right, okay? And you should be completely uninterrupted by Ashley, all right? So Ashley then is going to regurgitate your rebuttal in her own words. It's just like the first part, except that now you're seeking to understand how you disagree with each other's perspective, all right? That phase is over once both of you agree that the other one understands the rebuttal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
And then after agreeing that the listening portion is complete, we move on to the solving portion of the conversation.
Yeah. You don't solve a thing until you agree that you both understand.
Mm.
All right. And that is so important.
Yeah.
You're like miles ahead of the crowd if you just get to this point, if you just do the listening part well. And so the first part of solving the thing is, okay, now let's determine where we actually disagree. And you could actually write this down on that piece of paper that's in front of you. Where do we actually disagree? What is the issue? Let's define what the problem is. Frequently, the listening part of the conversation is going to lead one or both of you to such clarity that the solution is really simple, or the issue goes away altogether, especially in cases where the whole thing was a misunderstanding. Has that ever happened? I mean, it's happened to us so many times, or it's happened to me many times. As Shelby and I are talking through and trying to understand each other, I realize, oh, I was wrong 100%, and the only thing that needs to happen here is I just need to confess and ask for forgiveness. That's the only thing, okay? But if there is still a disagreement, okay, here are some things, some questions to ask. First of all, is this a biblical issue? In other words, is our disagreement something that is addressed in Scripture? And if it is, we want to know, is it a sin issue? So have either one of us sinned in this situation? If so, there needs to be confession, repentance, and forgiveness. If there's a habitual sin, what kind of help do we need to seek? If it's not a sin issue, but it is still addressed in the Bible, and we disagree about a decision that needs to be made, if it's a biblical thing that we just disagree about what to do, in what way does the Bible give us direction? This may require getting some counsel or doing some research, okay? So if we say, no, this isn't really a biblical issue, that the Bible doesn't address this, then we need to ask the question, is it a wisdom issue? So we may not be able to find straightforward teaching in the Bible on it or commands in the Bible that would apply to the situation, but is there a course that we could take that would be wiser than the other, all right? Are there wisdom principles in Scripture that might apply? So this is where it's helpful to really know Proverbs well, okay? If it's not a wisdom issue, then we would ask, is it a conscience issue? You know, the Bible doesn't address absolutely every issue in life. So if this is a thing, if the thing that we disagree about isn't addressed directly in Scripture, and we can't find wisdom principles that would guide us one way or the other, then when we say, is it a conscience issue, what we're asking is, do one or the other of us have a conviction about it? Meaning, one of us feels that there is a right way to do this before God. If that's the case, if it's a conscience issue, then here are two things to keep in mind. First of all, we should educate our conscience according to the Scriptures. We've talked about this before in previous episodes recently. I think we talked about this in the music episode, about what kinds of music it's appropriate to listen to. That's a good principle. You want to educate your conscience according to the Scripture, but then secondly, don't violate your conscience and don't lead the other person to violate theirs. If it's none of the above, it's not a biblical issue, not a wisdom issue, not a conscience issue, it's likely what we call a preference issue. You both just want something different. What does the Bible call us to do in that situation? It calls us to prefer one another. Mm. So then the argument should be, no, you do what you want to do. No, you do what you want to do. We should not be contending for our preferences. We should be pushing the other person to do what they prefer, okay? Some issues may be so difficult that they require informal or formal counsel. And one of the wonderful things that God has done for us in putting us within the body of Christ is that we have other brothers and sisters at our disposal to help us with these things. There is zero shame in asking a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside and work through these things with us. So if you're a married couple and you've got an issue, why not ask another older, wiser couple to sit down with you and talk through these things with you?
Amen.
Or why not ask a pastor to sit down and talk with you? There's no shame in this. I mean, we've had my appreciation for and estimation of someone's maturity actually increases when they ask for counsel, because it's foolish not to ask for counsel.
Right, right. I bet you most of the sin issues are arising in that understanding portion, just not understanding, being upset, not knowing how to. I mean, you do want to kind of vent that, the anger you feel, and if you don't understand, it's just going to turn into outrage or, you know, personal attacks. And I'm speaking from personal experience here too. I mean, just understanding, you're able to discuss and you feel that relief as you're getting your part out and you're listening. And like you said, it sounds like most arguments would be resolved after that part right there.
I haven't done any research on this.
I'm sure it's
but
true.
Personal experience and counseling experience would tell me most of the time the the angst goes out the window in that first part.
Yeah.
And some people may think, oh man, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to solve this? A lot of the time it solves itself in the listening part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, please share it. Please leave us a review as always. And if you have questions, please ask them. Until next time.
All right, thanks.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.